Our hymn is 130 this morning, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. You'll be singing only on stanzas 1 and 3. I'll direct you on that. It's a wonderful time of worship and praise as we celebrate Palm Sunday this morning. Let's stand together.
Thank you. as we stand, let us continue as we hear God's word as recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt. You will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell them the Lord needs it." To those who were sent ahead went, and they found it, just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. You may be seated.
Thank you. and it was quite a celebration. And well, it should be. It was a day where so many expectations seemed to come together all at one time. There were the disciples who secretly had hoped that this type of day would come ever since they had begun to follow this one Jesus Christ. You see, they had harbored in their mind that maybe one day people really would get it who Jesus was. Really, it would dawn on them that this was God's Son. And that in finding that out, Jesus would be exalted. And he would be thought of above every other name, and people would be willing to recognize his value and worth. And as he was raised up, so would they be raised up too. For you see, they had been the ones following him for these 3 years. They'd been the ones that had been at his side. They were the ones that now, along with Jesus, would be seen as being valuable and worthy in God's kingdom. So for the disciples to hear as the crowd gathered and they laid down their cloaks and they put down the palm branches, they were excited because maybe our dreams and our expectations are about to become true. Then you have those that were a part of the crowd that gathered, that were excited because they began to see a glimpse of what might happen if this Jesus could be the earthly king that they had looked for. That the Messiah who would come to give leadership to the people, that might cast off this Roman occupation, that might get them out from under this sense of a yoke of slavery, and that things might for them change immediately. They might return to that mighty and wonderful nation that they had been before. So they saw this coming of Jesus as, yes, a coming of one to bring salvation. Salvation from taxes, salvation from occupation, salvation from the yoke of slavery. So there was a sense of excitement for them on this day. Now, there were a couple of those who were not so excited about the day. The scripture actually lists that the Pharisees who stood and watched from the back of the crowd actually approached Jesus once they began to hear people praising him and lifting up his name and said, "Jesus, teacher, stop your disciples from praising you. Stop this blasphemy that's taking place." The scripture records that Jesus says, at this particular moment in time, if they kept quiet, the stones themselves would lift up praise in their place. It is again a confirmation that this is part of what God has planned, and that people are responding as God had anticipated. But this, of course, infuriates those that have already spent a great deal of their time together trying to plot how it is they may be able to stop this movement that is led by Jesus Christ. They are scared to death that their way of life, their power over the people, is about to disintegrate and go away. And this accolades from the people, this spontaneous response to the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem scares them. And it will lead them for the rest of this week to put their heads together about how they may ultimately stop what is taking place. There is another observer of what is taking place that is also scared by what he sees. It is Satan himself. Satan has had one goal since the time that he met Jesus in the desert and tempted him and was rebuked. He has at every point wanted to do whatever it took to be able to derail the ministry of Jesus Christ. And he has attempted in many ways through many of the people that approach Jesus to try to get him to turn from the goal that God had in mind. When he was rejected and given so much opportunity in the desert, Satan came back at him time and time again to try to do the very same thing through other circumstances, and yet he has not succeeded, and that worries Satan. So he too knows that he must turn up the fire if he is to stop this progression of Jesus to the forefront of the thought of the people of Jerusalem. And then there is Jesus himself, the only one that really knows what is being signaled by what is happening this day. He is the only one that understands the height of emotion currently, that height of expectation and excitement, that the hallelujahs that are currently being lifted up and to praise the Lord will very quickly, in 5 short days, go from praise and hallelujah to crucify, crucify. He is the only one who understands that this day simply moves him that much closer to the completion of what he was born to do, to follow what God had instructed him. Only Jesus understands that he has drawn closer with each passing minute to the place where he will die on a cross for you and for me.
chapter 15, verses 22 through 39. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Even those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he is calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he cried. And with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard this cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Of the darkest day. Yeah.
My, how the mood has changed. My, how that celebration has disappeared in a sense of agony and loss. It is important for us to reflect that when God first came up with the plan to send His Son to come and to die on our behalf, that from the moment that conception took place, there was a heartbeat. There was a heartbeat that could not be missed. There was a heartbeat that, even though not heard here on earth, that heartbeat was felt in heaven. And that heart continued to beat inside of this one, Jesus Christ, as He came and followed the path that God had laid out for Him. And this week was a part of that plan. When it was made by God in heaven, when He decided what it would take to be able to redeem us, it was that heartbeat that began to beat with one single purpose. And that was to follow what God had instructed him to do. There are people now that are gathered around this site that do not understand what has taken place. The disciples that earlier in the week had been so excited about this opportunity that was there for them and that this one Christ would be exalted are locked behind closed doors. They can't even get the courage, except for one, to witness His death. And every time someone knocks, they cringe, thinking that they are coming for them and that the same fate might be taking place in their lives. Those that thought this earthly king had now come and there was the opportunity to throw off this Roman occupation, they have seen that dream tortured and crucified on a cross. And they have watched Him go from celebrated to crucified. Those that have been trying for this period of time to get rid of this new person, this one who has come with a new plan from God, the one that would disrupt their entire lives, now look and observe this and say, there, this is good. We've been able to take care of this one, and now we can return to what it was before. People will listen to us, and we will return to instruct the people on what it is we know about how God would have them to live. They have not understood what the heartbeat of Christ was all about. Even those who walked with Him for 3 years have not understood the heartbeat of Christ, even though He has tried His best to explain it to them. And there is one other observer who early in the week has begun to plot with others so that he might be able to bring an end to this plan of God. Satan says to himself, here on the cross, through the people that I have been able to influence, I have finally been able to do what I said I would do from the beginning. I have been able to bring Christ to the cross, and He is now dead, and I have taken care of that. And there is, for Satan, a sense of celebration. He has gone toe to toe with God, and he has won. But Satan, just like the others who observed did not understand the heartbeat of the plan of God. For God whispered into Satan's ear, "It is Friday now, but Sunday's coming. It is death now, but life is on the way. There is grief now, but an ultimate joy is coming. You have not accomplished anything, for the death of my son was a part of my plan. And from the time his heart began to beat until the time I brought him to this point, it has all been a part of what I want to accomplish through the sacrifice for your behalf of my son. His blood will bring you salvation." So the heart that Satan believed he had stamped out continued to be and would rise again on that wonderful Easter morning to complete the plan that God began for us. So from the depths of this despair, hope was about to rise for you and for me. How important it is again to see that what took place on the cross was all a part of God's plan, and without it, we could not experience salvation. And that heart and that plan continues to beat today because of God's plan for you and for me.